Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning Indie Pro Call. Today is April 16th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives, or you can always subscribe to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, whether it's Google Podcast or Stitcher or iHeartRadio or Apple Podcast or whatever, whatnot. Love to have you on live, though. You know, there are a lot of people I know on listening to this. I talked to a couple people yesterday that listen to these via recording, and I do appreciate that. I always appreciate hearing back from you and getting feedback, and appreciate that you find value in this. But we love having you here live because I love having the questions and the conversations, and sometimes it takes us in an entirely different direction. I'm going to start the call off the way I always do, just about every week, except when we have a guest speaker on. And that is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything happened to anybody that's worthy of sharing with professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions or comments we can help you with? Anybody have anything? So I do have a topic that I want to talk about today. We're going to talk about how to compete against those unscrupulous competitors, you know, the ones that use all the scare tactics. We're going to talk about that. But I wanted to start off by talking about something that Jen pointed out to me. She sent me an article. The article that you sent, Jen, was from India, but it prompted me to look at more, you know, something more localized in Florida, in Jupiter. Some of you may or may not have heard a few years ago, this was one of those good news stories, I think, but a few years ago, we had a guest speaker on from the Loggerhead Research Facility in Jupiter, Florida. And if you go to motorvitality.com, even now, you'll see that there's a donate button. That is, if somebody's looking for a charity that is impacted by our industry, definitely the turtles. Where this was prompted, Jen and I were working with a client down in Jupiter, and one evening I was sitting on the beach sipping wine out of a plastic bottle because I'm a classy dude, and somebody, it was near dusk, and a lady knocked on my, tapped on my shoulder and said, "Are you here for the turtles?" Which is a strange thing to ask, but it was Florida, and I assumed, you know, when somebody just asks you a weird question like that on a beach, you just comply automatically because I've seen all the stories about Florida, and I was scared. And so I said, yes, and she goes, well, they're down there. And actually, it ended up not being creepy at all. What it ended up being was I wasn't even aware of this, but I happened to be in Florida on the beach during a time period where these big 200, 250-pound turtles come out of the ocean and climb up to the beach, to the top of the beach. They crawl up to the top of the beach. They dig a hole, and they drop 100 to 150 eggs in this hole. And then they go back down to the water, and these loggerhead, it was actually really incredible to witness. I mean, just amazing, so much so that I actually flew my daughter down the next week so that she could see it, because it's such an incredible experience to witness this. There were a couple things though that I learned. First off, only 1 in 1,000 of those eggs make it back or will survive. And where that became relevant was that of the deceased turtles that had washed back up on shore, they had just completed a study, and 100% of them had plastic consumption of the deceased turtles that had made it to the ocean but had washed back up to shore. The young ones, it was microplastic because plastic breaks down into plankton-sized bits, and it had was eating that and they were not getting the nutrition they needed. And then adolescents, a lot of it was plastic bags because the adolescents eat jellyfish and they see a plastic bag floating in the ocean and they from under the water, it looks like a jellyfish. And so they go up and they eat it and choke. And it really touched me. One of the things that I found, you know, the turtles are endangered. And so they were putting up a lot of protective regulations and policies at along the ocean. All the hotels along the ocean, they were required during this period of time to have blackout curtains. And that's because what happens when these turtles hatch out of the sand, they dig themselves out of the sand and they look for light. And normally they do it when the moon is rising. And so they go back towards the ocean by the light of the moon. Well, if they come out and they see street lights or hotel room windows, they go the wrong way. They head the wrong direction. They see the light. So, and plus you have humans that go through and they disturb the nest and they kick it up and, you know, they're disturbing the beaches themselves because they create footprints put the chairs in and they dig holes and it just creates a lot of obstacles. One of the other things that was really interesting when we were walking down, when I went down with my daughter, and we were going along the beach and looking for them. And there's something they call false crawl, where you're walking along the beach and you see what looks like a rock right in the water. But the turtles, if they see any movement or any activity on the beach, they'll come out of the water slowly, but then they get scared off and they go back into the ocean and they don't come up and they don't lay their eggs onto the beach. So they tell you that if you're going to be there during that time period and you're on the beach, that if you see one of these turtles, you stop and you stand no matter how long it takes, you stop and you wait for it to get past you and to crawl past you. And you know, because that's one of the things. So the good news story of all of this is with the pandemic, and this is apparently happening across the world, because Jen sent me this article from where this has happened in India, and I just looked it up, and they're seeing it here in the States as well, in Florida, and particularly around Jupiter and West Palm Beach and down through the South. Because the beaches are shut down, because human beings aren't there, they're coming back. And so this endangered species will likely have a record year this year of turtles surviving long enough to eat the plastic that we've thrown in the oceans. So good news for that. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting, just how everything is kind of tied together. And so I thought that was kind of neat. If you are interested, we do have that podcast online. It's kind of an interesting conversation we had with the I believe it was the research director of the Loggerhead Turtle Facility. Anyway, I thought that was kind of worthy of sharing. It was kind of an interesting impact of what's going on right now. You know, just everything's kind of growing back and coming back and recovering a little bit from human impact. Thoughts or comments on that? Is there? Hello?
Of course you're here. Of course you're here.
There was silence. I like to catch you guys in the total silence. It was my mesmerizing voice. I put you guys all to sleep.
Hi, Kelly, this is Mary Vargo.
Hey, Mary.
Hi, I just want to say I had not heard that story. I just looked it up too, but it's really encouraging. And in the Virgin Islands, our turtle nesting season peaks in like August, September, November. But it happens year round. It'll be interesting to see if we see any increase in numbers here. But thanks for sharing it. That was just good to know, and it's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice little recovery. It's good to know you guys are still on this call too. I actually had to turn, my phone goes dark when it's there, and I turned it on to make sure I was still connected. That certainly happened to me before, where I've rambled on for 10 minutes and realized that there was nobody there. So, any other comments or thoughts?
Kelly, I also have something besides the turtle thing. I just remembered. So, okay, I'll go ahead then. Today is when, for those of you who had registered for the Water Quality Association Conference, today is when they are releasing the video for those of us who are supposed to speak. We ended up having to do a virtual meeting. And so it was tough. Oh, my gosh. But anyways, those are uploaded today. So if you were registered to go to the conference, I believe that you're automatically registered to view those. They have over 40 hours is what they said, including a lot of continued education. For the continued education, I believe what you do is you download the video, and then you have questions that you'll have to answer, and then it will automatically send your continued education points to WQA. So those of you who are certified, you have to do, Kelly, it's 3.0, correct, continued education points?
It depends on your certification, but yeah, they're different hours, but yeah.
Okay, so that's an excellent way to get your continued education. And even if you are not certified, there are some very, very interesting and educational programs on there. Kelly, I believe you were speaking on the MEP program, and my presentation was changed to what your team can do during social distancing. So lots of really good stuff. Jump on there if you were registered. If you were not registered, you still have the opportunity to register, I believe.
Good. Yeah, thank you, Jen. That's this whole next week, they're going to be both live and recorded sessions, and you can look at that. So definitely.
And what time does that start today?
So it starts right away. On the pre-recorded things, you can go through and watch them pretty much anytime at your convenience. So you'll look at the schedule and see what they are. The live sessions are going to be throughout next week. So you can go to WQA.org and get all that information. I strongly, strongly encourage you to do that. And I'll tell you, this is in terms of education, in some ways, Jen's right, recording these presentations, I mean, I know mine, it felt like it was going to be a lot drier, and it didn't quite feel as fun or as energetic as I would have been had I presented it live. But it was tough the way they had us record the audio on each individual slide and to go up and do it. But there's the advantage to doing it this way is that you're not limited. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges when you go to these conventions is having to choose between this one or that one. You know, they'll sometimes have two or three that you want to visit or participate in all at the same time. You have to choose which one you want to go do. So this one you can observe them or watch them or listen to them. You can get the benefit of all of them. So. Very good, Jen. Thank you for doing that. Just WQA.org, and I absolutely encourage everybody to take a look at that. Anybody else? Any last comments? So, in the last 15 minutes that we have here, I want to talk about kind of unscrupulous, unscrupulous is a hard word, because there's the people, there's the customers that we have that go out there and flat out lie to our customers and the way they present our products and services. It's just they're blatantly and maliciously misleading, right? So there's that, but then there's the one, there's those customers that they're not exactly lying to the customers, but they're really, it borders on the scare tactics. And I want to talk about a little bit about how to kind of address that, you know, how to, and we don't have a ton of time, obviously, to go in detail on everything, but I want to talk about what it is, you know, what we're doing, what borders on that, you know, what is considered, what would be considered unethical, and then how do we compete with it? I mean, there's a lot of different directions this could go in the last 15 minutes here, but first and foremost, I want to encourage everybody, if you have not, I think it's really, really, really important to go to the Water Quality Association and look up the Code of Ethics. And so if you are a member of the Water Quality Association in general, your company is a member or you are a member, you have agreed to abide by the Code of Ethics and the marketing guidelines. And the general rule of thumb that I can say that they will go by is just honesty and integrity and not using scare tactics, okay? I saw this when I came in the industry, shortly after I came in the industry, when they lowered the arsenic standard at used to be 50 parts per billion. This was way back in the early 2000s, 2001. They lowered the standard. They went from 50 parts per billion to 10 parts per billion. And I remember the competitors that were around there that just, they pushed this stuff out. They, at the home shows, they had skull and crossbones. They had pictures from Bangladesh of kids that had obviously had health issues. You know, I mean, it was just this terror, this, oh my God, you shouldn't cook your spaghetti in that. Look what you're doing. You know, it was these scare tactics. Just all, I was so frustrated with it. And the thing is, the stats that they listed were not necessarily incorrect. They were just the most, you know, the worst stats, right? The worst case scenarios. And so how do we compete? I got a copy of an email that a customer sent us, that a company had sent to them. And I just want to read to you some of the lines that they had put in this, right? So, and I kind of want to get your opinion of this. And then I want to talk about what we would do to, to compete with this. So here's what they had. Hardness. This is easy. Waste soap, form scale, clogs, hot water heaters and pipes. Total dissolved solids. Everything in your water that is not water, such as sediment and minerals. That's actually, that part is not true on a surface, because of course total dissolved solids is anything with an electrical charge. And if you have something in the water like sugar or an organic, it's not going to show up on the TDS meter. TDS is anything in the water that carries an electrical charge. Chlorine, they put chlorine, yes, there's chlorine. Chlorine's a pesticide. Excess exposure to chlorine has been proven to cause cancer and other health issues in humans. Again, not inaccurate, but, you know, the big C word. Heavy metals accumulate in the body and can cause health problems such as early onset Alzheimer's. This is the email they're sending to this customer. Nitrates, they've got 3 parts per million. They copied the same thing on this one. Heavy metals accumulate in the body and can cause health problems. They doubled that one up. They didn't talk about blue baby disease on that one. I think that was probably a typo. Iron, it says some iron contains harmful bacteria and will lower pH. And then pH, they talk about under 6.8 is considered corrosive. Over 7 is alkaline. Then they've got a link to EWG. Now, the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, that is a really, really, really great resource for any, you know, for doing research and that sort of thing. But you have to be very careful using EWG. It's not an objective site. They I like using EWG. There's a link to it on our website. They've got a lot of links, a lot of resources. But listen to some of what they're saying here. This is more about your EWG water report. Your water supplier's yearly water report contains two important columns, MCLG and MCL. That's good. MCL is the regulatory limits, and MCLG column is the health limits. That's not entirely true on that. The goal is, of course, what they want to hit, and it is. I mean, the way they're wording that is, it borders on what is accurate and what's not accurate. But anyway, says to understand the difference, please think of a can of tuna fish. The regulatory limits allow one rodent hair in a can of tuna fish. However, the health limit would not allow for any. Another analogy would be hot dogs. It's common knowledge that hot dogs are high in fat and sodium and contain nitrates, also a substance in your water. Nitrates are known to cause cancer. However, you can walk into a grocery store and buy a package of hot dogs because they are legal. However, if a doctor will tell a pregnant woman not to eat food that contains nitrates, such as hot dogs, the question is, are you a person that is okay with eating hot dogs multiple times per day, or do you eat them rarely, if not ever? So this is the email that was sent. And then there's a post-test summary. You have hard water based on your town's water report. There are chemicals such as hexavalent chromium, PFAS, radon, chlorine, and nitrates found in your water supply. As you can see, there are a lot of unwanted things in your water. Many of these pollutants enter your body through your skin, in the shower, also when ingested. And then there's a quote for a system. Before I go into my opinion on this or my thoughts on this in more detail, I want to hear yours. Just on that email, what's good about it? What makes you uncomfortable, if anything? And tell me if I'm just overreacting a little.
Callie.
Yes.
It's Bob.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give you a little heads up on their water report.
Yes. So this by the way, Bob knows this because Bob is the one that forwarded this email to me from a customer of his that had sent it from a competitor.
Radon and radium, they're not even on their water report. So they have levels. They may have gotten it from a different Suffolk County's water report, but mm-hmm. not their distribution area.
Yeah.
PFAS was never tested out there. There was no tests conducted. And the total trihalomethane, how do you say that?
Trihalomethanes, yeah. Trihalomethanes, which is a byproduct of chlorine, yeah.
They had chlorination byproducts on their water report, but not that particular one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the number that they used for the chromium and the nitrates, they must have used the high value that was found.
Yeah.
Not the average.
Right. Right. So again, which is that's not on this particular email. That's on the additional information that they had given to them. So even based on that information, tell me what you guys think. What are your thoughts? Like I said, am I overreacting to this because of, you know, tell me what your thoughts on this. How would we do it differently? Because there's a balance, right? There's a fine line of educating the customer and letting the customer know that there's an issue versus writing something in a way that is obviously designed to raise alarm and fear. Am I reading that wrong, you guys?
Oh, you're not reading it wrong. And I think, you know, I will tell you, I've gone in to several appointments over the years where the previous person used every scare tactic in the book. And it was great for me because I calmed them down and I said, you know, some of this is, you know, it is true to an extent. I said,
but it also depends on, you know, what your true concerns are. And to be real honest, at that point in time, if I'm easing their fears and saying that this is how we take care of those things, they're an easy sale at that point in time. I'm a firm believer in educating and not terrifying people. I might sell more if I was a little more on the scary end of it. But I will mention, I haven't drank city water in 18 years. But that's my choice.
Yeah. And for me, what I always talked about was peace of mind. It's like knowing for sure that the stuff's not there. We've only got about 4 minutes here. Let me give a couple tips on how to address this. First and foremost, so I want to leave with some ideas and some tips here before we leave on how to address this, okay? First and foremost, if you would not say it in front of a Dateline camera crew, don't say it, period. If there's something that Dateline could look at and accuse you or any of your local places like that, if it's, you shouldn't do it. Also, if you are having to sell your product on fear, using fear, you don't know how to sell, in my opinion, okay? Or you're selling the wrong thing, all right? Our products bring enough value to customers in a lot. If that's the only thing that you can find on how to sell is by using fear and scare tactics, number one, I'm offended because you're hurting my industry, and I'm going to do everything in my power to combat that, okay? And I don't think anybody on the call is doing that, but I'm just saying you are not a friend to my industry if that's the way you're selling. I think educating them, Bob, you did exactly the right thing. You went in and you combated that information, and you said, look, yes, there's a need for water treatment. This is why we're in business. Okay, but if it didn't kill you yesterday, it's probably not going to kill you today, and don't make an impulse decision on this. Okay, let's look at the WQA certified individuals. Let's look at who is following the code of ethics. Let's show them that information. Now, the problem that you ran into, Bob, and I've run into this before, is that when a customer is smart enough to, and in fact, this customer reached out to you, I believe, Bob, because they did feel like the scare tactics were over the top from this other company. And by the way, just as a side note, we're going to see more and more and more of that. This company that I'm referring to is also misleading people about the pandemic. They're playing on the fear of this pandemic already and talking about the water and bringing it there. And they're using that fear and trying to spread it over to this industry a little bit. But anyway, this customer reached out to you, Bob, because they were suspicious of the over-the-top fear. The problem is then they started researching and there started to be all kinds of industry terminology, right? Well, what about this and that? And you did what I often did, Bob, was to step back and tell the customer, look, I understand that you're researching and this can be a really overwhelming. My goal is always to help you, to help the customer, regardless of whether you end up buying something from me or not. So here's what I want to do. I would like to, I'm going to withdraw myself from the bid. Okay. I want to be a resource for you. You've got these other three companies that are all telling you this and they're all swearing to you that they're the best. The reality is all of us have good equipment that will take care of your water. It's all going to fix it. I want to be a resource for you. I want to be somebody that you can call knowing that I'm not going to be trying to sell you something when you're calling me. Use me as a resource, and I will explain as simply as I can and as objectively as I can the features that would work best for you or explain what you're hearing. When I would do that sometimes, when I would step back on those instances, it was incredible how often I ended up with the sale. Because the other companies, there was a combination of using scare tactics and bashing each other and getting more and more and more in depth when it came to the industry terminology and the details and the stats and the specifics and all of that stuff. And really that does not serve our customers to have them throw up their hands and say, screw it, I'm not buying from anybody. I'm just not even going to do it. So, man, we could, there's a whole lot more we could talk about this topic, and we need to go back to specifics about this again in the future. But any final thoughts on this? So we do have 9 o'clock Eastern, but any final thoughts or comments on any of this?
I actually have one, Kelly, and that is, well, actually it's a couple. There are people on this call would not be on this call if they weren't interested in this industry. And so I think we're all faced with the same sort of thing with the people that are not interested in the industry so much as they are in sales. So that being said, you know what the concerns are in the area in which you live, the primary concerns. And so it's very, very important to be aware of, fact check everything, have that information when you go in, then you're able to do what you just said, and that is take yourself out of the sales process and put yourself into the educational process, and it will serve you well.
Yeah. Hey, listen, there's guys, we thank you, Jerry. I appreciate those comments. I also want to say that, you know, we did not send out a reminder again on this call. We didn't send out a reminder on the topic, and yet we have a lot of people on here today. I just want to tell you on behalf of the entire Motor Vitality team and the industry just how much I appreciate that and how honored I am to be able to offer this up. I really do hope you find some value out of it. I'd love to hear from you. Anything that we can do, either good or bad, that any feedback you have, either good or bad. And I just really, from the bottom of my heart, really appreciate it. So everybody stay safe. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay. Thanks, everybody.